Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. Thank you for listening to our message this week. This is the first week of a new teaching plan that I'll be preaching from. It's a couple month long journey through the Bible, starting in Genesis and going through the Old Testament until Christmas. We'll start in the Gospels, we'll read the book of Mark, following Jesus and the disciples all the way to the cross and all the way to the tomb on Easter. We have bulletin inserts available, and if you'd like one, please reach out to the church. We'd be happy to provide you one so you could follow along with us. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is my bone of bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have a great week, everyone. So this is our first week. I'm excited about this week. Something I've been looking forward to pretty much all summer. Pat made a face at me. She's not excited about this week. That's okay. If you look at your bulletin insert, we are sharing God's story. And we do that every week, but sometimes we don't do it in a way that makes sense. At least sometimes I feel like I'm doing that in a way that doesn't make sense. It's a story. So let's start, as many people have told me this past 2 weeks, that other pastors have done when they come and visit. We're starting at the beginning in Genesis. Next week, we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah, who are promised a son in Isaac. And that's 18 chapters away, 16 chapters away. We're in chapter 2 this morning. That conversation happens in Genesis 18. And so there's a lot that we miss. And we're not going to hit all of that in your daily Bible readings, but if you look in your bulletin insert, you'll see next or tomorrow is the first sin. This is when Adam and Eve eat from the tree. Then we skip all over Noah, and on Tuesday we'll read about Abram and Sarai as they're called out of the wilderness. Then God promises Abram a battle and a blessing, a new name
where Abraham and Sarah take on their new names, and then the promise of a child. And so every day during the week, we'll have these bulletin inserts that'll bridge the gap between what we were talking about on Sunday and what we're going to talk about next Sunday. And so I'm excited, and I'm going to follow along in this Bible study as well, in the daily devotionals. It's something that I always struggle with personally for devotional time. I find that every time I start to read my Bible devotionally, I start writing down notes for my sermon. Oh, that'll make a really good point for my sermon. And so instead, I'm going to, alongside of you all, read my Bible devotionally. Not read it for my sermons, but read it so I can hear God's story as well. So we're going to do that for a couple of weeks. We're going to see how it feels and see how it's going. And then we'll connect back in a couple of weeks. Sound good? Okay. I like when people nod at me. That's always a good sign. When I was a teenager, this is me transitioning now. When I was a teenager, I had a goldfish. And I named my goldfish Guppy. I thought that was pretty funny to have a goldfish named Guppy, considering Guppy is a whole different kind of fish. And so Guppy the goldfish was awesome. I used to buy him little things that would go into his tank, a little coliseum, a little diver, a little treasure chest. Guppy sat in this big glass sphere of a fish tank, probably held about 5 or 6 gallons, and it was about 5 pounds full and heavy when it was full of water. And so Guppy would sit on my chest of drawers, and he'd live there. I was his whole world. We also, when I was a teenager, had a cat. We had a couple of cats, we had a couple of dogs, but one cat in particular, his name was Boots. And Boots was an awesome cat, because you'd be sitting at the dinner table, and Boots would claw at your pants and meow really loudly until you gave him a scrap of food. One time, Cats was on my bed in a lazy morning. He's looking at my window, he's looking at the curtains that are hanging down, and he makes a jump for it, latches onto the curtain, and then crawls his way up to the top of the window where he sat for the rest of the morning. And so one Saturday morning, because everyone knows where this story is going, one Saturday morning, I wake up to a huge crash in my bedroom. I look over, and there is Guppy the Goldfish's fish tank in a million little pieces all over my carpet. The little coliseum is flipped over. There's sand and marbles all over the place. In one corner of the room is Guppy the Goldfish, shocked at his new situation. And on the other corner is Boots. And now Boots was ready to pounce. Boots was eyeing his prey, getting ready for a meal that he was super excited about. And in one swift motion, I got up, nudged the cat away with my foot, scooped up Guppy the Goldfish, ran into the bathroom, and put him into a cup of water. Then I put him back on my chest of drawers, and I spent the rest of the morning cleaning up now the nasty-smelling fish carpet that was in my bedroom. And unfortunately, Guppy the Goldfish did not survive that trauma that week. And so we had a little funeral for him out back. Boots then kept circling the grave, which was not great for me, but that's okay. So it's an interesting thing having a goldfish. It's an interesting thing being in the room and seeing this little fish swim around his tank in circles. He doesn't go to school, he doesn't go to work. He only knows that I feed him. He doesn't know the rest of my family. He never begged for chicken scraps like Boots did. He knew Boots would come and go from time to time, but really for Guppy, my room was it. His tank was it. And so it's an interesting thing having a goldfish. And so I've been thinking about that story this morning, mostly because I'm thinking about getting a new goldfish at the parsonage. I have no cats, so he'd be safe. But we look at the scripture this morning, we look at the creation narrative found in chapter 2, and because we are starting at the beginning, it makes sense for us to start at the beginning of our story. It makes sense for us to start, if this story was about Guppy the goldfish, it would be as I brought him back from the, I think it was the block party that I won him. That would have been the starting point. That would have been the Genesis story for Guppy, is I got him in a bag, I won him by playing a ping pong game, and now Guppy the goldfish has entered into my home where I feed him and I take care of him. But for us, we are not goldfish. So for us, we start in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you've ever, like me, started in your Bible, I start on page 1. This is page 2, or page 3 we're in. Genesis chapter 1 has a creation narrative, and I'm using that term very specifically because it's different from what we are seeing in Genesis 2. As I read the text this morning, did anyone ask, I thought in Genesis it said there was morning and there was night the first day. Did anyone ask, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? We didn't hear that language this morning. We started in Genesis chapter 1 with a youth group a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at the text. We were looking at the way the text reads, and I asked the girls, what did that remind you of? Excuse me, the students. What did that remind you of? And they said, poetry. I mean, I prodded them a little bit to get that answer that I wanted from them. But they said it reminded them of poetry. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was night and it was day, the first day. God created animals. It was night and it was day, the third day. It's repetitious. It sounds like a song or a poem. It keeps going over the same language time and time again. And so that's why Genesis 2 is a little different. Even the order of creation is different. In Genesis 1, God creates all of the animals and all of the plants and all of the world first. And then as a crowning achievement, creates humanity. In Genesis 2, God creates Adam first. And Adam in Hebrew literally means the man, or the human. God creates Adam first, creates all of the animals, and then creates the woman, then creates Eve later on. So what do these differences tell us? How do these differences inform us? I think it's interesting to look at Genesis 1 as humanity, as the crowning achievement of God's creation, but also humanity as the last piece. The last piece which has dominion over creation. We see that in Genesis 2. God created Adam, put him in the garden, and God said, Adam needs a helper. Adam needs a companion. And maybe God was thinking of goldfish. Maybe God was thinking of dogs. And so God starts creating all the animals and brings them to Adam. And one by one, Adam names them. He names them. Just like Guppy the goldfish didn't come with a name, just like our understanding of the word bear is actually not what the original name for the bear was by human beings. The word bear actually comes from a Germanic word that means the big scary animal. There was a belief that if you called and you said the animal's name, that it would bring the animal to your home. And so instead of calling the bear whatever the bear used to be called, they changed the word to mean the big scary animal. It would be like saying there's a lion, and if we say the name of the lion, it'll come to our door. And so instead, we call lions big cat-like creatures. Big cats. So that way we don't trick ourselves. We don't call the animal to us, so we call it a big cat. We call the bear a bear not because that was its original name, but because it's a descriptive word. And so Adam names all of the animals, and this scripture has been used throughout time, especially that sequence and verse 16 where it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden,'" except for that one way over there. It is our right as humans, some scholars and some Christians have said, to control and to subjugate the world, to do what we please to this world. If God has given it to us, then we can do whatever we want to it. It's this kind of understanding, this kind of theology that has allowed us to destroy the world, to pollute the world, to abuse the world, to scar the earth and kill the animals and the plants. If you've been watching the news, if you've been on Facebook or Twitter at all over the past couple of weeks, you've seen that the Amazon forest is burning. And it's not an accidental wildfire. It's not that a lightning strike had struck or that a camper hadn't put out his fire correctly. The Amazon rainforest is being burned down by farmers. The land is being cleared so that they can use it to plant crops. The rainforest is being destroyed for money. And so this is a massive problem for Brazil as well as for the rest of us. For all of humanity, the Amazon acts almost like the lungs of the earth. It absorbs carbon and stores carbon in the form of plants and produces oxygen for us to breathe. And so what's happening is it's actually twofold. First off, when they're burning the trees, they're destroying the process that gives us oxygen. And by burning the trees, they are releasing a whole bunch of stored carbon up into the air. They are releasing a whole bunch of smoke up into the air to the point where there are cities and there are children who cannot breathe from the smoke. In addition to all of that, as if that wasn't bad enough, the Amazon is a unique ecosystem. There are plants and there are animals that exist only within the Amazon rainforest. And there are plants and animals that we haven't even seen because they live so deep in the Amazon rainforest. Do we have dominion over the world? If Adam was placed into the garden as a caretaker, what does that word dominion mean? The animals were placed under Adam's care. What does that word dominion mean? Adam named all of the animals one by one. What does the word dominion mean? Now, I'm not even starting on this whole concept of who was created first. Was Adam and men created first? And then God made women later? Does that mean, as some people have said, that women, that, you know, God tried it the first time, didn't get it exactly right, and then women were created, and God said it is good? Or what has been more traditionally understood, is it that man was created first and woman was created as an afterthought? Woman was created to be subjected to be controlled by, to be made subservient to men. And this is one of those times I like Genesis 1 a little bit better, because instead it says in verse 27, God creates man and woman at the same time. God created mankind in God's own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female together. He created them. There's no ordering. There's no preference. There is no well, which came first and which doesn't matter? There are still people today who believe that men have one less rib than women do. There are some people today who say that women have, how many is it, 12? 12 ribs, I had to count, and men only have 11 ribs. That's not true, folks. That's not true. We have the same number of ribs. There are people who think that men are somehow better than women. And so what can we do? If that is not the message, if Genesis 2 is not an explanation for us to subject women to our will, if Genesis 2 is not an explanation and not a thesis for us to subject the world to our will, then what are we supposed to do? Whether you read this text this morning as a step-by-step, a literal understanding like a science textbook of how God created us, or if you read it poetically as a way to understand humanity's struggle, humanity's worry, humanity's struggle to understand how God created us. Whichever way you read it, the most important message is that God created us to take care of the earth, not destroy the earth. God created us so we can make tools, and we can make industry, we can make poetry and music, we can make the world a better place. Not so that we can destroy the rainforest in a cloud of smoke. The meaning of God putting Adam into the garden, the meaning of God putting Adam in charge of the animals, is that we are caretakers of them, that we are caretakers of this world, that we are the ones responsible. The meaning of God creating Eve as Adam's companion is not a fight over who was made first. It's not a difference between men and women, but that we are actually partners alongside of each other in life. That together we make up the human race. There isn't a man alive who didn't have a mother, and there isn't a woman alive who didn't have a father. We are created in the image of God to take care of one another, to take care of the world, to love one another, and to love the world, the plants and the animals, all those who live alongside of us. And yet there is something missing from the world. There is something broken in the world. And that's what tomorrow's scripture reading in your bulletin insert is about. Humanity rebelled against God. We sinned against God. In our youth group lessons, in our youth group conversations about sin, I had the students kind of, it wasn't a play per se, but I had one of the students stand and look at me, and I pointed at the clock that's downstairs in Fellowship Hall. And I see Landry laughing. I see Lily and Quinn smiling. I pointed at the clock and I said, "Don't touch that clock. Don't do it." And then I had another one of our youth leaders, her name is Christine. She was one of the, she was the bride that I married here last year. Christine was standing over by the clock and was telling Landry, "Come on and touch it." Was it Landry? Oh, was it Quinn? Okay. Telling Quinn, "Come and touch it. Touch the clock. What's Pastor Jesse going to do if you touch the clock? Come on, touch the clock. It's not going to hurt you." And I kept saying, "Quinn, come back. Quinn, come back." And Quinn turned away from me. And I'm sorry to call you out like this. But Quinn turned away from me and started walking toward the clock. And as she got closer to the clock, Christine started yelling even louder. "Touch the clock. Touch it. Touch the clock. What's the worst that's going to happen to you?" This is what happens when we sin. This is what the whole point of Genesis 3 is about, that there is something wrong in the world when we stop listening to God. There is something that happens, something that is broken down in the world when we stop listening to God, when we turn our backs on Him and walk toward that clock, away from Him. That is when there is a problem. That is where we started. That is why we start in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. Because we have to understand what's broken in order to understand why God fixed it. We have to understand why the fishbowl in my bedroom crashed and fell in order for us to understand why I picked up Guppy the goldfish and put him into a cup of water. We have to understand what is broken in the world in order to fix it. And the best way for us to do that, the one way that we know how to do that, is by reading God's story. This is the big picture. This is God's story for us, for humanity. We start in the garden and we end on the cross. It's actually not the cross, and we're going to get to that in a couple of months. We don't end at the cross, we end at the tomb. Because come Easter Sunday, we know that Jesus has conquered death. Come Easter Sunday, we know that the tomb is empty. Come Easter Sunday, we know that there is resurrection and there is life, not just for Jesus, but for us as well. This is the big story. That we have conquered sin and we have conquered death through God. This is why we are starting over. And so this week, I personally am encouraging you, follow along with me. I'm putting this up on my refrigerator. Actually, not. I have a little cork board right next to my refrigerator. I'm putting this up on my cork board. I'm going to see it every morning because it's right next to the coffee maker. I'm going to know what scripture readings there are, and that's what I'm doing every morning, is reading along with these daily Bible readings. Reading along so I can understand why we start in the garden and we go all the way to Abraham and Sarah. And why Sarah laughs at God. Why Sarah listens to God and laughs in his face. That's what we're talking about next week. And so to figure out that gap, to fill it up, we have to read our daily readings. And if you're courageous enough, if you are excited enough, if you're like me and a huge nerd, there's also a devotional guide on your back. There's also a devotional guide on the back of your bulletin insert. I got away from myself there. This is where we share God's story with our family, or we share God's story with our friends. This is where we take our Bible study a little bit deeper. But this is how we start. This is how we read God's story. This is how we look at the big picture. Amen.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you had a great day and a great time listening. God bless.